Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Circles of Prosperity. I'm Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here with my wonderful, wonderful husband, Dr. Reggie Johnson, and we're your hosts this morning. Gloria Wells, of course, is moderating our chat room, and my goodness, we are moving into the last chapter of Dr. Reggie's wonderful book, The Secret Power of Words, Manifesting What You Say. And I really hope that you guys take the time to order this book. You can order it from HiddenMysteries.com. And the telephone number is 903-876-3256. And the reason I'm encouraging you to order the book is because, first of all, it's not an intimidating book. It's a small book. And it's one of those books that when you're down in the dumps or when you really need to feed your spirit and be reminded of these truth principles, it's easy to just flip open this book and really get some guidance and to remind you how powerful your words are. Good morning, Dr. Reggie. How are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. Cynthia, how are you?
I'm fine. It's just they probably noticed that the music was running a little longer than usual.
Because
you made breakfast and I was trying to finish eating it.
Oh, it's okay. They know and they understand.
Yeah, I know. I love he gets up in the morning and makes breakfast. This is our morning ritual, and we were running a little behind this morning. Anyway, we're going into chapter 10, and I think this is like the chapter of chapter. What a way to culminate the principles that you have laid out here. The title of this chapter is Manifesting Success with Words. Oh, I can't wait till we get into it. The other thing I want to say before we go into morning prayer, Dr. Reggie, I am so excited because we're going to have Rasha on, and who transcribed the book
Oneness.
Oh, and last night I went back to listen to some of the teachings from that book. Oh my God! I mean, it's been a little while, and I know the book just significantly impacted my life, and I know it changed a lot of others. But my goodness, you guys need to go back and listen. And you know, when you get into chapters 20, in the chapters 20s, if you have the book, go back and read chapter 24, please. It will knock your socks off. It is such a great reminder. And if we have a little time today, I'll probably try to touch on it because it just really, just riveted me last night. It's all about experiencing God. That's our whole purpose on this planet, to experience God, which in oneness, they say to experience oneness. Oh, this stuff. Okay, Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our morning prayer?
Heavenly Father, as we breathe and move, we thank you for another day. A powerful, beautiful day heading toward our ultimate ascension After 5,000 years of darkness, we're now entering into the light of ascension on December 21st, 2012. We thank you for the Holy Matrix that is, and that we're in this beautiful place of a leading edge, and we decided to come here to live and love. Let our words be kind and gentle and authoritative under the Holy Spirit, and let us move and have our being under the pulsating, electric, dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. And the third person in the beautiful council, we thank you. We believe under the auspices of the mantle of your Son, we walk in that light, and we believe it is so. And so it is.
Thank you so much, Dr. Reggie. And so it is. So let's get into manifesting success, okay? The secret of achievements is to hold a picture of a successful outcome in mind. There was a period I'm getting the mics mixed up. I'm sorry. There was a period in the 20s where we had some powerful American authors, Henry David Thoreau, and poets, Ralph Waldo Emerson, and this particular quote was from Henry David Thoreau: "The secret of achievement is to hold a picture of a successful outcome in mind." You have to see the success in mind. That's where we were talking about yesterday, where creation all begins, right? So who do you want to be? What are your goals? Are there traits or virtues that you would really like to own? What kind of life would you like to have? And now I ask you, what do you focus on? What images do you hold of yourself in mind? Do you see yourself as successful? Because if not, here's how you can begin to make the changes in your thinking that will manifest change in your life's experience. And you know, if it were me, I would probably change Dr. Reggie's book to The Secret Power of Thought and Words, because he links the two so well all the time. And it all begins with the thought, because that's the birthplace of words. Thoughts. So first of all, it is important to know that each of us is responsible for the circumstances we find ourselves in. Where you are now is the result of thinking. It's the result of feeling. And it's the result of your imagineering by the power of the subconscious mind. We are not the innocent victim of our environment. Instead, our environment and life situations reflect back to us what we have consciously or unconsciously created with our words, our thoughts, our faith, our intention, and our emotions. We can experience heaven. Or we can create our own hell right here on earth. We do this by what we believe and what we say. By what we believe and what we say. By what we believe and what we say. Life is as beautiful as your thoughts would let it be. It's unfortunate that so many people have been brainwashed to accept less than all heaven has to offer. Churches have influenced people in some positive ways, but when these same people demonstrate prosperity or spiritual growth, the church tries to fill their minds with denial, saying it's not possible to be perfect or that being financially wanton is God's will. And strangely enough, I never thought of Christ as broke because he kept talking about the kingdom, this kingdom of God. I mean, really, folks, what king is financially broke? So here's a word to the wise. In November 2001, I was invited to a psychic fair at the Learning Light Foundation in Anaheim. And Dr. Reggie shared the story earlier this week, and I wanted to have a psychic reading. So I visually inspected the festive atmosphere from the audience's perspective to choose someone that I thought could really help me. And after my third or fourth reading, I ended up telling the psychic very detailed information about themselves. And one psychic, her name was Susan, who was very knowledgeable about Egyptian magic and mythology, informed me I should do readings next month for the fair. And so the following month, at her suggestion, I auditioned to be an intuitive reader. And I had to do readings for three board members to prove my accuracy and my abilities. And I called on the angels of earth, air, fire, and water, and I asked them to help me guide the people I was reading. Needless to say, I passed their test, and the following month was out there on the floor with all the other gifted readers. And as I watched from my simply decorated table, adorned with candles and cards and crystals, I felt as if I were being judged by a jury for a cosmic crime of some sort. And it was their money being spent, and they were going to spend it wisely. And I thought to myself, oh, I hate this. Why did I decide to do this? Nobody's coming to my table. Listen to the words that he said. Nobody's coming to my table. And so after an entire day at the fair, I had read a total of two clients. And of course, I went home frustrated and wondering why I felt like raw meat being chosen for the fire. And so I told my wife that I felt like a psychic prostitute giving away a quickie for $6.50. Dr. Reggie, you are so crazy. And she laughed and told me in a loving voice, honey, don't give up. It's not like you. Maybe there's something you did not prepare or say to invoke your success. Oh, he made me sound so smart in this book, didn't he? Okay. And he said, that's it. And she hit the nail on the head. I am grateful for the wise words of my wife. That's me. That's me. Okay, guys. He was grateful for my wise words because it brought me 300 clients the first year. How? The very day that I followed my gut instinct and was led to pick up a copy of Scott Cunningham's book. It's called Wicca, A Guide for the Solitary Practitioner. That was unusual for me because I was coming from a traditionally Christian background, but I bought it anyway. And as I read it, I saw so many Christian tenets in Wicca and vice versa. And I read the eye-opening chapter on visualization, where he described how to raise energy and bring in what you want. The book brought about a life-changing experience regarding my success as a psychic, and I tried Cunningham's recommendations and began repeating the goddess chant daily. And each month following that, I was sold out. He was beyond sold out. People were traveling from San Diego to come and have a reading with him. And then when they got there, they were fighting over him. I remember that. So the goddess chant worked for me then and still does today. It brings all kinds of prosperity. And for some reason, you just know that you are in alignment with spirit, because even nature starts to support your efforts. And one of my students, Dawn, is a professional business feng shui consultant. I met her one day when she attended one of my classes at home in Cerritos, and there was something familiar about her energy, but I did not know what it was. And she stands 6 feet tall. She's a beautiful girl. And she looks exactly like Lucy Lawless from the television show Xena, Princess Warrior. She does. And people actually call her Xena. And I told her about a chant and a ritual to use when attracting wealth. And she followed my instructions explicitly and said the Diana chant, and took green colored candles, etching the dollar symbol into the wax with a sharp object and anointing it with olive oil. And here is the Diana chant. It's filled with sacred and ancient energy. I know you guys have been waiting for that, because he gave us a teaser early in the book about the Diana chant. And here it goes. It's Luna, 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 Diana. Luna, 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 Diana. Bless me, bless me, bless me, Diana. Luna, 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 Diana. It is so simple. But what you are doing, you know, and don't get freaked out. I've been laying the foundation for you to understand ritual. Ritual is an activity prayer, an active prayer, but it is enhanced with words. And the words equal vibration that send out a frequency that is that aligns with your desire. It all happens within. So at the end of the ritual, she thanked God and Goddess for the expected blessing aloud, so that the words would travel on the sacred verbal energy of thanksgiving, which immediately gets their attention. And she came back to class. Oh, she was just so excited. Oh, my God, Reggie, I sold 9 condos after this prayer and this ritual. 9. That's an interesting number in itself. So I thank you, and here's my tithe to you. She is still raking in millions of dollars and is tithing to several foundations and has included me in her wealth building businesses. I told her the ancient wisdom is true. What you think about, you talk about. And what you talk about, you manifest. What you think about, you talk about. And what you talk about, you manifest. I like to say, and what you talk about, you bring about. Secret wisdom. I would say it's secret wisdom key number 1. Mark 11:24 says that whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you already have it, and you will receive it. Oh, Dr. Reggie is saying, amen, amen, amen. Oh, the universe is not limited in her resources, nor her willingness to give. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? Sounds simple to just have what you want, doesn't it? Well, it is just that simple. But the key to manifesting something is believing that you have it, and remembering that everything you say and everything you think is really a prayer. See, that's the part we forget. We squander our creative tool, words. Oh, my goodness. I was reading, if you go on the Oneness site, Rasha has updates. I mean, because she's constantly channeling this energy. And one of the things that she brought up, and I'm bringing this up because of this horrible weather that we've had, but in September of 2011, Oneness was talking about the conditions. We've gone through so many dramatic things. Let me see if I can find that on the website. But anyway, what Oneness was telling us is that the drama that we're going through is really happening because of the things that we think, that we are in such a state of fear that we actually manifest worst case scenarios. And then Oneness tells us that the whole reason that occurs is because there is this energy of where people want to control us, and they control us with fear. So they're basically putting the pat. Let me get my words right. They are basically putting words, or putting the thoughts of fear into us, and then we siege on the fearful thoughts. They're planting the fear. We siege those fearful thoughts, and then begin to think about worst case scenarios, and then it manifests. So it becomes en masse consciousness. You've got a whole city believing, a whole country believing, a whole world believing in these fearful thoughts that have been planted. I don't think I'm going to find it this morning. So, let's move on. The Lord is our shepherd, who tells us we shall not be in want of anything good. So why are so many people living such dreadful, unfulfilled lives? Because there is a universal law of attraction that works for everyone, regardless of whether they believe it or know about it. So you may not realize that every thought and every word and every action and every feeling has an effect upon the world and returns to the sender to affect their life. The energy of thought is being scientifically studied and can be proven. Listen, the law of attraction, sometimes it's also known as manifesting or the power of energy. Listen, this law of attraction is the ability to attract to and draw to yourself and your human experience things, and so that you are in your human experience, you are experiencing situations that are in line with your thoughts and with your words and with your emotions. Think about what you're going through right now in your life, be it positive or negative. I'm not passing a judgment on it because it is all your divine path. Okay? Think about where you are right now. It is the result of what you were thinking in the past. What you were thinking, what you were saying, what you were calling up your girlfriend and complaining about. Oh my God, you're right. I was. What you were fearful of. Whatever's going on in your life this moment, right now, is the result of past thoughts. That's why Dr. Reggie says, don't dwell in the past. You've already created that experience. Create something new. Stay in the moment. Stay in the present. What does Eckhart Tolle tell us? He says, be in the now moment. Why is the now moment so important? Because it's the creative moment. It's the moment of creation. Moment by moment by moment. It is a moment of creation. And all that time you're spending thinking about the past, regretting the past, feeling sorry for yourself, you're creating that experience at that time. Stay in the now, creating new experiences. Oneness says, the whole purpose of you being here is for the experience. Don't pass a judgment on any of it. None of it is right or wrong. You simply made a choice for the experience, and you grow spiritually from the experience. And where you elevate into enlightenment is at the time that you can embrace the experience, the good and the bad, and be grateful for all of it because it is your divine path. Listen, Dr. Reggie tells you that you are a magnet that attracts things, that attracts people, that attracts circumstances that are a vibrational match to your present mindset and belief system. If you are a positive thinker, you will attract positive experiences. And if you are a scrap pile of negativity, I'm not going to even finish the sentence. You tell me what you're attracting at that point. I guess. Jump. You will attract more of the same to yourself. So now that you know how you are getting what you're getting, let's look at some ways that you can use the law of attraction to work for you and to benefit you and to clear out anything that's blocking what you really want. First of all, you must realize that you are responsible for creating your own reality. You've heard that for the past, 8, 9 months now? You are responsible for creating your own reality, for creating your own experience. It belongs to no one else. That's you. What a gift. And many people will gladly accept that their hard work brought them material gains, but will refuse to accept that they are also responsible for their own discomforts and their diseases, their job layoff, their accidents, or the dramas that they experience in their relationships. We want to blame God. We want to blame someone else for our troubles, but the truth is we are responsible for everything that is occurring in our life. So our thoughts bring about our experiences. And it's not up to God or anyone else to do something for you. Remember the creation story. God gave us dominion, which means he gave us control over all things. And some people believe that humans are victims of circumstances, but the higher self knows that humans are co-creators of their material reality. This means that whatever we focus on, it sends out a vibratory message to the universe, who will respond by bringing to us what we ask for. And some people think that everything happens according to God's will. Yes, and it does. As long as you see yourself as part of God and that your will is God's gift to you, they will use it. They will use it was or it wasn't God's will. And here's the bottom line. It's God's will if good things are happening to you, but it's not God's will if bad things are happening to you. What does that tell you? If God designed you so that whatever you think and you say will bring about an experience or a situation, then all of it is God's will. And if you don't like the experience that you created, create something different. All of it is God's will. And in oneness, it tells us not to place a judgment on any of these negative, so-called negative experiences, because we have to experience the full spectrum, the good and the bad, and understand, and here's the key, but really understand that we are creating it. That is what sets us free from it. And there's a purpose for the negative experiences. It allows us to appreciate the good experiences even more. It provides contrast. Maybe we don't know what we really want, and we think we want something else, and then when we get in it, oh, no, this is not what I want. But that provides contrast. It has purpose. Negative experiences have purpose. They help to transform us. They help to shift us out of denial. So there really is no such thing as bad or good, just our perception and our judgment of it. But to make my point, I'll use those terms. Bad things happen to good people because even good people attract by what they think and they say or they believe, the very same way that bad people seem to have all the luck. It's not luck at all. The Bible tells us that if we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be opened for us. If we ask, that we shall receive. And many people just don't realize what they are seeking or what they're asking for. And therefore, they don't have a clue as to why they are receiving what they don't want. They may even blame the devil or Satan for their misfortune. But the truth is, they are creating, and they're creating unaware by default. So those of you who are of the mindset that the world owes you a living and that someone else should take care of you, you're only cheating yourself. Because when the government or an enabling parent or anyone else attempts to rescue those who refuse to be responsible, it gives the person the idea that they are not responsible for their own life or what they are creating. And this type of dependency traps people to a poverty-level lifestyle and disempowers them. So if you believe that life just happens to you, then there's really no point in concentrating on what you are putting out mentally or emotionally. Don't even listen to what I'm telling you. But if you realize that it is not up to someone else to take care of you, you will see the need to create the life that you want and that you deserve, because with God, anything is possible. So have faith. Open yourself to receive all of the bounty that is available to you. It's your choice. It's your choice. So I want to tell people, I see a question in the chat room. The Diana Chan is on page 100 of Dr. Reggie's book. It's at the top of the page. Okay, here's Dr. Reggie's second point. If your words don't match your thoughts, they lose power. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I just remember this girl when I first started Circles of Prosperity, and she was so gung-ho, and she wanted to win a contest. I think it was in Colorado. She lived in New Jersey, I think. And she wanted to win this contest where they would give her a house and $100,000, and she was going to move to Denver, Colorado. That's where they were awarding this. And it didn't happen. And she lashed out nicely, though, but she did lash out saying, I didn't get what I asked for. And, you know, so I don't believe in all this law of attraction stuff. And I really tried to ask her, I said, do you really want to move to Denver? What were your pictures? What did you envision? Because it had, the thoughts and the words had to be aligned. And guess what? The number one thing that has to be in alignment are your emotions. I said, was there any doubt in you that you would win that house and that $100,000? And of course, at this point, she wasn't being honest. you know, she wasn't being honest. She just wanted to say that this didn't work and her life was screwed up and, you know, what she was going to do. See, wishing for something is not the same as having a full desire, because wishing for something is just wishful thinking. It's just mindless, you know, it has no power in it, really. What fuels a desire is emotion. And 9 times out of 10, if you're not manifesting something that you really want, you need to see if you really want it. Is that emotion there? Is it an emotion that is equivalent to, I already have this? Even though I don't see it, I know it. That emotion where there's no fear and no doubt is what fuels the desire, and which means it's fueling your words and your thoughts, that they travel and that substance is placing in doing everything. The universe is doing everything because it has a clear signal from the unit, Cynthia. A clear signal from you of what it is that you truly desire. And here's the thing. If underneath all of those words and actions there's fear and you don't think it's possible, or this won't happen to me, and you may not ever say it, but you are feeling it, that's what's going to manifest. Fear is like putting water in the tank as opposed to premium fuel. You get it? Are you getting it? Okay. So here's what Dr. Reggie says. If you say, I am rich, yet you believe that you don't deserve to be, you probably won't gain much in material wealth, because the universe acts upon the intent, which means the belief, the intent of the heart, the belief of the heart, not the outward or the verbal expression of, oh, I hope I can. There are many ways to say something, and some ways will not attract what you want. You may be like the double-minded person who is saying one thing and believing another. You may state affirmations all day long, but if you truly believe something else, it's going to take a while before you begin to see any positive results from your words. And here's an example. You hate your job, but you hope to manifest a better employment situation with more money and healthier relationships. Instead of being thankful for your present job, you constantly gripe and grumble about how bad it is, and you focus on what you don't have. And guess what? You're going to get it. And so more of what you are complaining about, that's when you are obsessed with not having what you want, it will block your ability to manifest your true desire. I heard people say, be careful what you pray for because you just might get it. And that is so true. When you are ready to manifest something, be very specific about what it is that you want. And then you stay focused on it. Stay focused on it, because the universe will respond. And it's going to bring to you exactly what you ask for. You got to have that clear signal. Dr. Reggie tells you that you need to be in gratitude, because having an attitude of gratitude is one of the keys to manifesting something better. It seems too simple to be true, but the one feeling that attracts to you everything you want in life is gratitude. And listen, if your language right now is, I don't have, if only this could be, and blah, 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 if I could just do, if I could just get ahead, if it's God's will, all of those statements are doubt statements. Doubt, 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 doubt. Dr. Reggie says, and do without, without, without. You don't want to have, the way to change that, this, make this your practice. Oh, I am so grateful for this wonderful experience I'm having right now. Oh, I am so grateful for this bill that's coming here and that I have money to pay it. I am so grateful that I have a roof over my head. I am so grateful that I have electricity. I am so grateful that I have food to eat. I am so grateful that I am warm even though it's cold outside. I am so grateful. My car may be old, but I am so grateful I have dependable transportation. Just start being grateful for every little thing. I'm grateful that I have some shoes to put on this morning. Oh, listen, I want new shoes. That may be my desire, but I'm not going to talk about, oh, these old raggedy shoes. I'm so embarrassed when I have to wear them. No, I'm grateful that they don't have holes in the soles. Find what you can be grateful for, because that will stop the complaining. Because the more you complain, the more you're going to get what you're getting. Be grateful, be grateful, be grateful. And you know, we have it. Our homeless people have it better in this country than in some other countries. Some countries don't even have clean water to drink. And we are a spoiled nation. We whine and complain, whine and complain. And how many of us are thankful for public transportation? How many of us are thankful for the roads that we have? You go to some countries, they don't have roads. How many are you thankful for our traffic lights, that we have a system designed so that we have an orderly flow of traffic? But we complain because we're in bumper to bumper. How many of you are grateful for the freeways that cut through passes? You're not having to drive on some little dirt road. We need to be grateful. As a nation, we need to be grateful. And not try to find so much fault with everything and everybody. Be grateful. Be grateful that someone would even want to run for office. Do you think there's no way that I would want to take on the responsibility and hear all you whining and complaining and judging every decision that I make. Be grateful. Let you be the ones right now to say, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that someone would take up the responsibility to care for this country and to move us in a new direction. God, thank you. Stop complaining. I'm sorry. Just stop complaining. Stop it. You can feel any way you want to. You have a choice and you have free will. But I promise you that your attitude and response to what happens in your life is the major thing that makes you happy or unhappy. It is not the event that has the power over you. Things, people, and circumstances only have the power that you give them. And gratitude empowers you. Gratitude empowers you. Listen, we only have 90 seconds. I wanted to close this book out, and I am, if you don't have the book, I encourage you to purchase it, because this last chapter tells you all the secrets, tells you what's hindering you from manifesting what you want, tells you how to shift out of that and to move into what you want, and it's just a great book. Tomorrow is Oracle Friday. And we're going to see what we're going to manifest tomorrow, right? Dr. Reggie, take us into our closing prayer. I loved it.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything that you've given to us. Our first order of the day is to be grateful and thankful for every good thing. Everything that we encounter is a lesson and a blessing. Even the people, even hostile circumstances, we're learning something major in all of those events. Thank you for giving us the invisible sources that we don't sometimes recognize. Breathing, air, energy, heartbeats, thinking. all the intrinsic things that are important to us as humans. Let us grow in love and light and experience peace. I believe it is so, and so it is.